Hi, everybody. I'm Nolan from Past Gas by Donut Media. We're an automotive history show, but you don't need to be a gearhead to enjoy this show. You just have to like great stories. Come hang out with us every week as we bring you a story from automotive history that you just have to hear to believe. We talk everything from legendary race car drivers to auto manufacturing snafus and sultans and dictators that amass huge car collections. Anything is fair game. We just want to tell a great story. So if that sounds good to you, pause the show you're listening to right now and go subscribe to Past Gas for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Past Gas, check it out.
Hey, everybody. Yes, this is a special. I always say that, right? Episode of Bob Saget's Here For You. My name is Here For You, and the show is called Bob Saget. Wow, that's an anagram. How did I do that? This is a, you know, I always do that. When a lot of people do that. When they know that they're not doing well with their thought, they always add like an you know, afterward to go right into the next thought. But that's how I function. But this is an episode that I'm excited about because I'm going to get to see you guys. I've got through this wonderful service called Looped, I'm going to be talking to a lot of people. My callers today I'm going to be able to see them, which is fun for me. And we'll see how that goes. And if you like looking at me and I like looking at you and that works out, and you don't expose yourselves, please. No one expose themselves to me on this. That would not go well. A couple things I need to tell you at the start of the podcast, of course, is to rate, review, and subscribe. That's what you do. Rate with a T. And always give it 5 stars. You know, less is why. Why even? I'm like the Michelin guide. I'm teeing it up. I'm rigging it. Because why shouldn't it be like everything else? And the other thing is, you might want to follow, if that's how you listen to this, or watch it on the YouTube page, which is, of course, youtube.com/Bob Saget. It just sounds like I'm selling snake oil, doesn't it? This is a salesman. Anyway, this is a cool episode. You can also call that number that's at the top of whatever podcast thing you're looking at on whatever platform you're on, whatever device you're on, a vibrating device or an iPad or a vibrating iPad, which is kind of primo. I don't think it's been invented, but you can have it. And call that number, leave a message. When I call people, I'll be announcing it on Twitter, on Instagram stories. And please feel free to leave a message, what you want to talk about, and I'll be calling you on certain days of this very podcast. So with no further ado, let's go in and talk to the first people that are communicating with me. Tomas, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Good. How are you?
Is that how I say your name, Tomas?
Yeah, it's Tamas or Tomas.
Tamas, I will do the way you want it.
Yeah, my mom pronounced it Tamas, and it's actually Hungarian for Tomas. So I've been in this sort of this existential battle. Is it Tamas or is it Tomas?
My last name did that. It wasn't good. I had real bad. They called me bad things.
And, yeah.
I mean, Saget's one thing, but they actually called me Saget the Faggot, which was that's not good. Good kids are cruel, but a good thing adults aren't.
Right, exactly. Right, of course. We're adults as friendly as can be.
They're so awesome. This is such a good time for adults.
Yeah. So, how you doing?
I'm all right. All right. Thank you. I'm hanging, and I get to do this podcast, which is really fun. This is the first time I've done it like this, which is I get to see the people, which is really nice. So I appreciate you calling in.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I told Kelly that I see you post that you're, you know, going to have the phone open next time, and I keep forgetting or I get stuck somewhere doing work. And then I saw this one. I'm like, I'm going to call, and I'm remembered, and everything works. So,
thank you. You got a great signal. Some people that are in the business for a billion years don't have decent Wi-Fi. We watch CNN and we see somebody like glitching and we're going, God, totally. Please fix your signal. You're the Secretary of Defense.
Exactly. And they're just stuck there frozen on the screen right at the key moment. You know, you're like,
God in heaven.
I just talked to somebody.
Right. No. Hopefully when that happens, Fauci won't freeze.
Hopefully.
Well, he won't. He's got the tech down. And they will have a vaccine. That's kind of, we know they will. I mean, that's what people, they're going, people think it's all is lost, but that's just humanity. Yep. But humanity might be not on the upswing at the moment. But I think once there's a vaccine, I do think there's going to be a shift.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean these horrible things going on are going to go away, but I think we'll be able to look forward to living again.
Well,
where are you living?
I'm living in Henderson, Nevada. So I moved from Colorado. My wife and I, our daughter is down in Orange in California. And so we wanted to be a little closer, but also, kind of be in between Colorado and California and move the business. And it's been awesome. I love the desert. I love being, close to the coast, close to a lot of outdoor stuff. And we moved literally the week of shutdown. So we got out here, everything kind of up and running. And that was March 6th. And then March 12th, I was going back up to Boulder to wrap up a few things, came back and it was lockdown. And so since then, I've been basically just back and forth from my house to work. And, all of the Vegas stuff closed down. So I haven't really, it's been very extraordinary in good, bad, and all the other ways possible. So,
right.
But we're very happy being here. We love it.
That you're so lucky. You're so lucky. And to be together. And you're not arguing a lot? Because that happens.
I mean, it comes and goes,
It's, it's got to be. You're living with people.
Exactly. So we've been doing really well overall. And, honestly, it was a perfect universal event for us to land where we did at the right time pre-COVID lockdown, because we have this huge desert expanse for us to explore and, really socially be social distancing as best as possible and loving, exploring the desert, rock hunting, embracing something that we never really were doing before just because, life was, quote, normal.
Right.
It's been really, I feel totally blessed. I'm really fortunate.
Are you working? Are you able to work?
I am. Fortunately, I'm able to work. The business has been continuing. We lost about 65% of one side of our business. What kind of business is it? So we do coffee roasting.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. So it's,
So do I know you through Kelly?
You do. You do.
Tell me your coffee.
Dragonfly Coffee Roasters.
Oh my God. It's all over the house.
Yeah. So that's me. And,
you're my hero. It's the best damn coffee in the world.
That's I do. I love hearing that.
And how do people, what website do people go for Dragonfly Coffee?
So dragonflycoffeeroasters.com or really easy dragonfly.coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the easiest one. But
Kelly's literally going to be so excited about this because
I have a
whole Nespresso, which I love. It's easy. It's fast.
Yeah.
Dragonfly's in the air when I wake up.
That's so awesome. So
that's the next pestilence, by the way. The next thing that's going to hit us in 2020 is dragonflies, dragonflies.
Exactly. But they'll hit us with love.
They're love, and they're 4 feet in wingspan, so they hug you.
I didn't know that part.
They're big, like those 6 foot bats. Those 6 foot bats?
They show. They're all around Las Vegas. I've seen them everywhere.
I don't know if they're real. I think they're just in the cabinet.
It's possible. With the scorpions as well,
Yeah, absolutely. The 8 foot scorpions. It's all coming back.
God. Yeah, I didn't know anything about scorpions until moving to the Vegas area, and I've learned all about that. That's very entertaining.
Oh, they're great. Lovely to sit on. It's great to get in your trunks.
Totally. I had one on my foot the other day. I just let it do its thing. It's quite lovely.
What, are you a Scorpio?
I am, actually.
I don't know why I laughed at that. It's the stupidest thing I could have said.
It is, but he fell on my foot, and I'm like, I called my mom.
This is true. You had a scorpion on your foot.
Story. Yeah, totally. An actual Arizona bark scorpion. So my birthday is in October. I happen to be a Scorpio, so it was worth calling my mom to check in and see how things were doing, and I let her know that, a scorpion had fallen on my foot. And, of course, it's one of the only two venomous scorpions in the U.S. that fell on my foot, and I'm doing dishes, and I'm just suddenly feel something drop on my foot, and I'm like, is that a spider? Is that a scorpion? And I'm like, well, either way, I probably should just react as fast as possible. So one one-thousandth of a second goes by, I fling my leg up and look under the sink, and sure enough, there's a little scorpion scurrying under the dishwasher. I'm like, oh my God, he was on my foot.
Was it 2 inches long? Is it one of those?
It was a little one, so yeah, about 2 inches. Mm-hmm.
So, well, please, I feel bad. 2 inches, if I ever heard that, I'd be so insulted.
I know, upset. But that's really big if you're a scorpion.
Yeah, mine would. If it lands on your foot, then you're more than 2 inches if you're able to do that. That's amazing. Exactly.
Yeah,
but
so
now, did you kill it or did you get it?
Man, so I tried to find it, and it turned into this long, intrepid adventure into the island under the sink. And that may be my first novel is Into the Island Under the Sink. And I didn't find it. But then the next day, my wife, Hillary calls the exterminator right then. And the next morning they come out. And apparently during monsoon season, the crickets start to come out. So the scorpions feed on the crickets. And you have to mitigate your crickets in order to manage your scorpion population. All stuff that I found quite fascinating. Had no idea, right? Then the next morning, the scorpion guy comes out and telling me all these interesting details. And I proceeded to go through the garage and show him kind of like where I had seen crickets. And then there was a scorpion. So I, my new fashioned Swiffer wrap with packing tape, I snagged him with that. And we examined him and the exterminator took him on. So,
my God. And you should come up with a scorpion brand of coffee.
I was thinking about that. So now that we're desert folk, I'm kind of thinking about what I want to do in terms of maybe like an El Dorado blend, a golden blend or something fun. I don't know, but scorpion could be in there. I have some fun little icons with aliens and agave and, I get into it, it's fun. But we're doing Nespresso compatible pods soon. So you guys are going to get some of those.
Oh my God. I can't believe I'm getting swag out of this. This is the best podcast ever.
Well, I try to treat my friends well, and
Well, you're one of the good people. I'm really happy I'm talking to you. It's so funny. It's such a small world. You're also fortunate that you're in the world that you're in, that you're able to live through COVID better than a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and a lot of my business is for restaurants or coffee shops, right? And that all went away, basically, in some cases permanently. So really 65% of the business died in March. But we've really completely reorganized to just be online and bring it to our home consumers and try to connect with the people directly, because, we're trying to connect people with these experiences and bring levity. And one thing that you said to me when we saw each other in Denver is, bringing levity and light to people is so important. And the only way I can do it right now is through coffee.
And that is something I love. I do love my coffee in the morning. I have a friend who I always talk about and brag, Norman Lear, who's 98. And he always says every day, he says, I can't wait, because he's 98. He has an interesting outlook on life. He says, I can't wait till tomorrow morning in that first cup of coffee.
Amazing.
That's just appreciating life. And coffee is something that a lot of people are, it is a lovely thing to be able to take that moment and enjoy that moment, because it's so hard for many people to enjoy any moments right now.
It really is. And it's just the times, it's so easy to get lost in this sort of mental crisis of, is it going to get better? There's, it's so hard to stay sane and stay happy that cup of coffee, the aroma, just anything that allows you to step outside and enjoy that moment, listening to you, laughing, just anything to bring us together and closer.
It's so nice to hear that. But then I think of all the people that we know, that you watch the news and friends and what's going on in the world. And I talk to my daughters in New York, and I talk to Kelly's family in Chicago, and the world is it's on fire right now. Not on fire literally sometimes, but it's just very heartbreaking. So it's the small things that we can try to enjoy. And I'm hoping that all these people that are going through all this terribleness have their small things that they can enjoy. Maybe it's looking at their baby and wishing a better world, betting a better world for that child. But mankind, womankind, humankind has a hell of a long way to go. To get through this crap we're in. But I look forward to seeing you again. Next year I will be back. I'm already scheduled next year at the Comedy Works in Denver, because it's one of my favorite places. So it'll be great to see you in person.
I would absolutely. And since we're now in Vegas, we're
traveling. I'll be in Vegas too, so you can see me in Vegas. But that won't be probably next year. That'll probably be the year after, because this is insane.
It is. And just the collective consciousness of all of the heaviness, you can feel it in, just it's too much. And so I would love to see in person and connect. But yeah, I was just thrilled to chat with you a bit, you know?
So. You too. You too. I'll tell Kelly. She'll be through. I would have brought her in, but I'm running. I got 14 seconds, so I've got
to
hang up.
All right. Bob, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All the best. Lots of health, man.
Yeah, you too, man. I'll talk to you
soon. Thanks. Bye. Hi.
Hi.
Stacy, how are you?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm all right. I saw your tweet, and I'm so glad I get to talk to you now.
I'm happy I tweeted. I don't usually use Twitter, but I'm happy I did this thing.
Thank you. Where are you?
Well, I'm in France.
Oh, my God. You're lucky.
No.
No, it's rough there.
Kind of, not too good. Since May, we've been living kind of a new normal, but not really normal. And since late July, well, it was summertime. So no social distance, no mask wearing.
Oh, God.
And some people still think it's not true, it's not real.
Same here in the U.S. I don't understand how they could know it's not true.
Now every day we have new cases. So, what to do?
Do you know people affected by it?
Yes.
Are they doing okay?
Most of them.
Right. Are you indoors most of the time? Are you going out?
I was indoors from March to July, and by July 15th, I went back to work for three weeks. Then I had my summer break, and I went back last week.
What kind of work, Stacy?
Well, I'm a child care assistant in a nursery / daycare, I'll say.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, I'm a big kid myself, so working with kids.
Same here.
Awesome.
I will always be a big kid.
I think I'll be a big kid forever.
I found out years ago that Full House was in France, and I didn't know it, but it was Fête à la Maison.
I watched a Full House episode in French. Never.
And you never saw it.
Yes, I saw it, but I'm just a Caribbean girl in France.
I see. So they had someone do my voice, and he was like this.
So much. Yeah. I tried when it was on Netflix, but it wasn't that good, so I switched back to English. And the translations are so not good.
Right. No, it's not at all what we're saying.
No.
Do you have a bunch of family there with you?
No, in France, we're just the two of us, my boyfriend and myself. Everyone's in the Caribbean, in Martinique, and in St. Lucia. Just the two of us.
Are you getting along? Because sometimes people, it can be difficult, right?
Well, from March to April, he was kind of mad because I just went binge-watching Full House, Full House, Full House, Full House. Full House. He was like, okay, okay, okay. But I just went back to what made me feel good when I was a kid.
That's what people are doing. We've got to get out of this mindset. And you know, in the U.S., we've had so many more issues on top of the COVID.
I see that. It's a pandemic that was supposed to bring everyone together because it's worldwide. It became political, and then with all the racial injustice going on.
I don't understand it.
Well, I know.
I mean, I do understand it because it's real here.
It's everywhere.
Do you feel it in France as well?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Have you felt it your whole life?
It's a kid. My mom's from St. Lucia. My father's from Martinique. So just the fact of being, how would I say that? Bilingual, that was already something I just didn't understand, because it started amongst black people. And when I came to France, it was worse.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't even think that.
In the Caribbean, between the French-speaking countries and the English-speaking countries, it's always been a world war something.
What are we going to do? It's like mankind's never going to learn.
Not that the COVID was going to change some things, but no.
Well, maybe it will. Maybe it's going to take years. Maybe it's going to take 10 years, but we'll have moved forward somehow.
Maybe not. But I try to keep my positive attitude.
Yes.
Well, it was kind of tough, but since I went back to work, since I'm a workaholic myself, since I went back to work, things are much better, I think.
And to be with children?
Yes.
That's a gift.
But sometimes it's kind of difficult to work with the mask, but I don't have a choice. I have to.
Yeah.
In considered a high risk person with asthma and all, no COVID for me.
I do think, Stacy, that when we have a vaccine, and we will have a worldwide vaccine, it will happen. It has always happened in history that somehow we fail forward. And they're working hard, and there are good people working on it. Thank God there are good people. But when that vaccine comes, I think we're going to be, in 2 years, we'll go, that was the worst thing I've ever lived through. But we'll be on the other side of that, and then we have to deal with all these other human issues as long as we live, and try to spread love wherever we can.
Well, that's exactly what I've been doing as much as I can.
Right.
So, here we are.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're a lovely person. When I saw your tweet, I went, oh my God, I have to talk to her.
Thank you.
I so appreciate you reaching out and being so sweet.
That's why, first of all, when I called the first times, it was like, okay, I need to talk to somebody. I need to laugh right now. And since last month, it's like, okay, I just need to give back some love and show some gratitude. That's
yes.
All. Because you've been doing so much before and during this pandemic that, wow.
Oh, Stacy, don't make me cry now.
No.
It's really sweet. I'm just doing what I have to do. But there are people that are really doing amazing work. But you saying that to me means a lot. Means so much.
It's from the heart. And that's not a Hallmark card. That's true words. And since the pandemic, I've been, as I always said, my house has literally turned Bob Saget everywhere. From Fast of the Penguins to everything. I've read the book, I think, twice. And the audio book, I've listened to it, I think, 5 times.
Thank you, Stacy. Well, you hear in that in my book, I talk about all the death I had and all
that's
the loss.
That's why I read
that.
It just twice. I just couldn't. The pictures, they were lovely pictures, but I've got a real issue with death.
Yeah, we're all scared. I'm not scared of it because I've had so much of it. I worked on, with therapy and working on not being afraid of it. But I've had so much of it. Now we're surrounded by it. And it's something to work on, to accomplish, to not be afraid of it. It's so hard because we're all predicated on fear right now. And people are teaching fear, and that's no way to live.
Well, I haven't been listening to the news since April, so.
Oh, you're brilliant. You're brilliant.
I just can't.
Don't. But definitely when the vaccine comes out, you'll see it on Twitter. It'll be fine. And then you'll get it. So that'll be good.
And like that, I'll release my travel itch.
Yeah, same here. Oh, my God.
Because in 2020, I was supposed to be around the world. But no.
No. Everything stopped. But it'll be 1 year, and you just have to get through this time. You can do it. You're a strong, wonderful person.
People can. Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Welcome.
Send your boyfriend all my best and tell him I'm sorry. I'm all over the place.
Well, he doesn't really understand English, but since March, his favorite song is My Dog Licked My Balls, huh? That's the only thing I can hear every morning. That is wake-up song. So
he wakes up to My Dog Licked My Balls.
Getting ready to go to work, that's what he listens to.
If I ever perform in France, I want you to be there. I'll be contacting you.
I'm planning on maybe next year or whenever we get to go out to... That's on our bucket list. Go see Bob Saget live.
I would love it. I'd love to meet you afterward, too. Thank you so much. Be well.
Okay, bye-bye. You too.
Bye, Stacey. Thank you. Are you at work? You got a lovely place there. Is that a cafe or is that just a gorgeous kitchen?
No, this was my day one quarantine project. I built and installed the bar behind us.
That is so nice and smart.
Thank you.
Oh, and that cask end right there. We were in Scotland. You see it?
Oh, I want to go back there. I went with my wife. Oh, my God.
It was really great. It was great meeting you guys. It was such a great time. And then the time we had afterwards was amazing.
We had so much fun. I didn't realize you were going to be calling in. This is hilarious. This is so funny.
Crazy.
Lean in more so I could show it to Kelly. Yeah. This is hilarious. She's in the other room. But so you're in Mar Vista and things are doing okay? You're doing all right?
Yeah, we've had to postpone the wedding twice so far. We were originally going to do it May 23rd and then COVID and then everything we were told, we thought August would be fine and now still COVID. So we postponed until July 17th of 2021 and we hope this all blows over by then.
It will. I mean, there'll be a vaccine for sure.
Yeah.
And then there'll probably still be masks. You know, what's so funny. I was talking to Kelly this morning. It's like, okay, I was in Japan once and everybody had masks and that's how they live. And now I realized I haven't had a cold since I've been wearing a mask and since I've been socially distanced. I haven't had anything. So you go, oh, wait a minute. So you get a cold from other people. Duh. So it's pretty amazing. I haven't had a cold. I haven't had any kind of thing I need an antibiotic for. And I've done some television work, but I've been COVID tested and stuff. Have you gotten tested?
Yeah. Unfortunately, both my grandparents passed in about 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it was
COVID related.
No, not COVID related. It was right after the wedding should have been, which was just heartbreaking. And we flew back to Ohio for the services. And after that, spending however many hours on 6 different flights, and just booked it to urgent care and got tested. Wasn't as bad as everyone made it out to be. Certainly not pleasant, but it was fine. We came back negative, and then we hung out inside for a while.
Well, what's ironic is they had... I'm sorry about your grandparents. Kelly lost her grandmother, too, and she had part COVID. There's always some in there. If it's pneumonia, then 25%. They don't know where some of the numbers are. But they were using those long pipe cleaner things, go all the way up to your brain. And then, but everybody else knew there's shorter ones. You don't need them. Yep, now they just do the little nose swab.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yeah.
And now there's even other ones that are even, I think it's like nothing. I think you just like put a little spit on something. I mean, it, you know, there's new ones that are happening all the time. The question is anybody going to want to mass produce them? Because if they do, and once they find a vaccine, who cares? But then the people that don't believe in it aren't going to take the test or the vaccine. So you kind of need to keep making the test. Maybe you got to force people to take the test that deny that this exists.
So how have you been? Are you staying in LA for all of this?
Yeah. I have not left. Kelly did. She went to Chicago, saw her niece, and she did some work. She's been doing some for businesses without touching people, without doing, you know, been doing COVID-related projects and with her Eat Travel Rock production company. And so she's able to help new restaurants or restaurants come back that will be opening with outdoor seating so they can not completely go bankrupt. And so she's been doing quite a lot of that. And so I miss her. I get angry when she leaves because then it's just me, like Beauty and the Beast. I just stay in the house, just grumbling while petals fall off the flower in the vase. Do you go out? Do you guys go to restaurants or anything? Have you tried that?
We do. There's in my vista, there's a lot of restaurants that we can just walk to. So we've been doing a lot of walking and outdoor dining and keeping a distance from everyone and masks on when we're not eating or drinking.
Yeah. Our favorite places still haven't reopened, but we found a few new places that are closer by that are quite excellent. So we get out when we can and when we feel safe.
Same. We went out last night. It was our first date in all this time. We went out with another couple a couple times, and we had a couple people over, you know, just sitting far apart. Don't go through the house. Wear a mask. Meanwhile, I had 10 workmen in the house during this whole thing because I had the plumbing in the whole house went. So they had to dig through cement. That was fun. But, you know, just to get through this time, it's just something none of us expected. And the more contact we get to have, I mean, talking to you guys means something. You know, it's like nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, too.
And we shared a really, I mean, special thing. I mean,
you know. Really did. Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, we hope you can make it. I put Kelly on the list for the.
I would love it. I love it. And if it's next year, there's no reason why not to, unless I'm touring or doing a movie or something. So that would be the thing that would keep me. But why not go? I mean, celebrate your marriage, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's telling Christopher, like, every so often. It's like, Bob was really fantastic because you remind us, like, guys, this is your first meal as an engaged couple. It's like, it is! Oh, my gosh, it's here. And then again in the evening, this is your first dance as an engaged couple. Like, it is! And so, like, you
I like to put a mark in things that are positive. Because everything's so screwed up and negative, it's nice to go, this is a good thing.
Yeah. And then because so much was happening around us at the event, it's just like, we didn't take that moment until you reminded us, like, let's take a moment, let's enjoy it.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind of a day. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you remember the first time it didn't actually happen, and then the second time it took her 27 seconds to say yes, while on my bended sprained knee, longest 27 seconds of my life, but totally worth it in the end.
We didn't know where you went. You went to the woods.
Wandering around.
But let me tell the people. So we were at Craig Ferguson's manor home. That's an accurate way to represent that.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought you were going to propose, and we didn't know what the answer was going to be. And then we all were looking through the windows, and you were like wandering out in the woods, and then you kind of walked with each other, and then you kind of followed her around, and then we didn't know if you asked, and we couldn't tell, and then you came back out and went, oh, no, did she say no? What? We started to get upset. I was like, Craig, I need a drink. I don't know what to do. This is really traumatic. And I mean, those are the good old days, you know, when you could propose without a mask.
Right?
But it's actually perfect. It's perfect. And waiting is fine. It's fine, you know. It also gives you more time to find out if you drive each other really crazy.
you know, being locked inside for 6 months now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think we've gone through the test and we came out.
Yeah, we're still getting married.
Yeah.
Love it. I love this. That walk in the woods past the driveway paid off.
it was a surprise to me, so I just thought we were going on a walk. All right, let's go on a walk and just let's keep going. Oh my gosh, it's over here. So it was just a nice walk for me.
What was exactly the wording? Did you say, let's go for a walk?
Well, okay, so that's a funny story. So there's that tree out front where I plan to propose with the amazing view and such a great story. And I said, you know what? There's this tree, and I really want to see it. And Chow's immediate response was, oh, God, a tree.
So
we walk in, and the first time there was a little miscommunication with our hostess about pictures, and I thought she was going to come out. So I stayed under that tree as long as I feasibly could. And when I guess she's not coming. So we just went on a walk, saw a lot of the property, came back. And then when we came back, Chuck took a quick nap, and I talked to Megan. What happened? Well, I thought you were in. So we made a new plan. And when she woke up, I said, you know what, sweetie? I really want to get a picture of us in front of this tree.
So here I am.
And now it's definitely like, God, with the tree again.
We saw that. I remember seeing the picture being taken.
Yeah.
And the voices from inside the house are going, what's going on here? Why are they taking a picture? They should be getting down to business. What's this picture? Are they want to commemorate the moment? Or did she? He's not going to ask. He's scared. So.
Well, I was actually pretty petrified at that point. But we ended up just taking a video, and we pulled stills from that. But that's how I know it took her 27 seconds, because her first words were, honey, we haven't talked about this. Like, oh, God, I'm in trouble.
Well, I'm sending you guys a lot of love, and I look forward to everything.
It's so great seeing you. We'll talk soon.
You too. Definitely. Thanks.
Bye.
Be well. Bye-bye. Aaron, yo, how's it going?
You interrupted my lunch, Saget.
I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry.
I didn't know
you didn't know I had a podcast. I didn't know you had a lunch.
No, it was funny because you were on caller number 4 for a while. I thought, okay, this one's probably a doozy. I have plenty of time. And then I come back and I saw that I missed the call. I'm like, what the hell?
I talk too long. I talk too damn long. It's a blessing and a curse. Okay. Well, thank you. You're in a perfect, you got John Oliver's show going on behind you there. You're in the blue void, the gray void.
See, I think the difference between me and John Oliver is that John Oliver has a fancy warehouse on HBO's budget. Me, what do? You use your little toddler's bedroom.
Is that where you are?
Yes.
That's awesome.
When you need the quietest place in the house, always go to your kid's bedroom.
Do you know, I'm finding the more people I talk to that have kids, especially little ones, they are literally a lifesaver right now, their existence. And the fact that you get to love them, and then, of course, the fear of what world are they coming up in. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming you love your child.
Oh, yeah. He's just incredible. He was a ray of sunshine kind of very, very quickly early on in all this mess. Excuse me, all this mess that we have right now in. And kind of a short 30-second version, there was about like maybe the Saturday or Sunday of Hell Week, as I call it, back in mid-March. And he's trying to get me and my loved one's attention. You know, something that, you know, 4-year-old is just trying to do. I think he was like coloring something. He wanted to show us something. And here we are. We're looking on our phones, looking at the latest updates on symptoms and news stories and so on, and we're getting so sucked into the 24/7 news cycle and not paying attention to him. And just had a moment of breakdown where I just grabbed him, hugged him, and I just like turned to her and said, you know, he's right. You know, he might not have known what we were doing, but he's trying to get us away from all this and not ignore it, but just not get sucked into it all the time. So we give ourselves like a day, at least one day a week, where we just say no Twitter, no Washington Post, no news podcasts, nothing. Just
it's so hard. I blew up 2 days ago. I just couldn't take it. I started to get to that point where it was the pressure cooker. You know, it was like Jim Gaffigan, the guy you would never expect ranting from. My friend, he had to do what was in his heart, and it just it exploded. And it, you know, and there's, it's happening everywhere. No matter what people believe in, they're all gone berserk emotionally. So it's just holding on to ourselves and getting through this. There's going to be a vaccine.
Jeannie's a very, Jeannie's a very, very lucky woman. Because I think regardless of what our political persuasion is, he just kind of expressed, he needed the vent. He needed the vent massively.
I love him so much, and he is such a good man. And then he kind of still apologizes for it in his in his Facebook. It was a beautiful thing that he wrote, you know, and it's all about just being concerned about what world our grandchildren are going to have. And I think that's what all people of all sides are believing, whether they're hard-nosing it and not seeing what I think I see. But I just like truth, you know, and I like honesty, and we need to laugh. I don't know. It's the hardest thing is to get back to that. I mean.
Oh, gosh. I think about times I've try to like joke with someone, even if it's like within your own family, and just to keep it going during all this. And sometimes in that moment, that person, the joke is just too much. And that's part of their journey, unfortunately. Even within a within a family dynamic, I'm saying my lunch is good. I'm choking on my bread right there. But anyway,
sorry. This is my fault.
That's okay. You're good. You're good. But it was
no, Aaron. I choked you. I didn't know that. I keep you waiting.
Hey, it's been a lifelong dream for me to be choked by Bob Saget. So yeah, thank you for that.
I've heard that a lot. Actually, it's a real problem, but it hasn't come out. Wow. There's no press. There's no counterculture going to come after me. Just what do they call them? What culture? Cancel culture. I get so confused. Culture. I'm so sad. It's all such a bunch of crap. I can't take it anymore.
I get it, but for me, I'm kind of like, if your form of activism is only tweeting about it, if your form of ranting and trying to change the world is only trying to, you know, make that post on social media and get that Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame.
I agree with what most of them are saying. I understand it, but I'm not coming from a bad place with what I do. So I'm asking for a hall pass.
Yeah, you know? Because
but then again, I've done things over the years. I did a show in London, and I wasn't thinking at all about someone that was transitioning, and I did some humor about it, and it happened to be a very serious as it is everywhere, and should be honored and respected. In London, in particular, there was a case that had come up that I wasn't aware of when I did the show, and that's just exactly. That's me listening and understanding, and then I don't say it again because I had to learn the hard way because I'm behind the curve, and a lot of us are behind the curve on how to treat people because of how things were, and we're all getting shaken right now. But through this always has in the past come people moving forward. That's what I've learned. So I didn't mean to say I hate cancel culture, but I'm sick of not being able to say something that's just a joke. That's not meant to hurt anybody.
It's kind of like for me, like, and I think that's why I related so much to what Jim Gaffigan did last week, where, you know, and this is like irregardless of where. Let me get some water real quick. That food's not going away.
I know I'm choking you. I apologize.
That's what happens when I have sourdough bread with my lunch. There we go. But you know, he's Catholic, and as a Catholic, it's one of those things where we acknowledge that we're all fucked up massively, and that we can't take this holier than thou attitude. And you can put this in a secular context, where if you take this holier than thou attitude of how you are a peer, that's not addressing, you know, the baggage that you might have or the skeleton in your closet.
Right.
And as I mean, you know, I'll say it. I'm currently serving. I mean, I'm 18 months in at least into 2 years of probation with Maricopa County for felony theft. And you know, that was a shitty lack of judgment that I did, and I you know, I'm taking the steps to not relapse at all again. And it's, and I say that because it's like, okay, this person might have been suspected of this, or they might do something that you didn't agree with. But what about the things in your life that, what have you done to take stock of what it is that you're doing for the people that directly impact you? Because at the end of the day, I might not like what Adam Carolla said today on Twitter, but I don't know the guy. And at the end of the day, I really don't care.
Right. Right.
And because again, that's his journey, and that, and I don't know him. And so what if I tweet out to him saying, "Oh, Adam, go fuck yourself." Like,
right.
that doesn't solve anything. Going out and protesting, going out and bailing out your buddy who was trying to do the right thing, going out and making sure that people are staying safe from a virus that is not the flu, people.
No.
And
you saying what you said to me and owning your shit for what you've done and what you've been through. You know, there is a forgiveness zone. There is a place where people own it, serve what they have to serve, do what they have to do, because there is no one, I'm not going to say who is without sin, but that would be a Bible quote, and I don't often do them because I actually know quotes from the Bible, unlike other people who just say they love every word.
Keep it very, very kosher.
Oh, I'm very, I have a circumcised Bible. I got the phallus edition. That's going to offend the world. That offends every single person.
I don't care if I get
See, it's just work. To me, I'm just like, I don't know. I loved Monty Python. So when they made Life of Brian, that thing outraged so many people. And it's such a piece of amazing comedy art and holds up a light to what is religion. And it doesn't denounce. It's not a criticism. I watched my wife, who's Christian, and it's not an insult to Jesus. But it might be to people just in the context of what it is. But
when I went through my sacrament prep, just a little quick sidebar. When I went through my sacrament prep, when I was in college to fully enter to the church, it like blew my mind away when my priest said, "Life of Brian is my favorite movie," and I'd seen it already by that point. And when I heard that, and when he explained it, I'm like, "Yeah, I get it. He's right about that." And I'm like, "Oh gosh, bless him." Anyway.
Yeah, Monty Python did a lot. They have done a lot to shine the light up. And in some ways, South Park kind of has taken the place of that. And other great comedic type things that are more serious than you realize they are. You know?
Yeah, well, comedy comes from tragedy.
It does in my life. It does every day I wake up.
we see someone slip on a banana peel and fall into a pile of dog crap. And that's tragic, but we laugh.
Yeah, as long as they fall in the dog crap. It depends on who they are. And I mean, I did that for a living. I had to watch people get hit in the nuts and then show it to the world before YouTube. You were like 5 years old and I was doing
that.
I did that for a living and you were five.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. See, this is kind of weird. Like, you're kind of my childhood, and I wasn't even really thinking about that until you brought that up. And I'm like, that is,
well, that's an honor. I mean, it depends on how you thought of me, but at five or seven, when people watched the video show or the Full House show, which appealed to different audiences, although family, but still different. It's interesting because at five, you're not cynical. You're not, at seven, you're not going, yeah, right. You know, you learn that in your teens, and you learn that from people being mean and then you being mean back or whatever, or being too cool. It's all about trying to be cool. So you can't just go, boy, I love everybody. If you say that at 12, they beat the shit out of you, you know.
Well, see, it's interesting you mentioned that, how that, you know, five-year-olds are cynical. And I kind of bring it back to that analogy I gave earlier with my son and my little meltdown during Hell Week. And I think it's, if you kind of think about it, a lot of the shit that we're in right now, I'm really looking forward to New Year's Eve this year, 2020. We need to recreate network, and we need to open up the windows and doors and just shout out, mass hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Like, no fireworks, no nothing. We just need to recreate network, Peter Finch. But
I think people in the streets, people are right now. They are doing that right now. And they're doing it even more dramatically. And network is, I think, a prerequisite for everyone to see, because it's kind of something that we're there. We are there. And now we're even past that, because once violence sets in, we're past that. And and the goal of humanity is to stop the violence. That's what civilization is supposed to do. And good leadership is stop the violence. But it's very hard when people are being treated violently.
Yeah, and if people kind of bring it back a bit, like if people, I kind of have this theory that all the problems that we're in right now, they're from people in leadership who, and I don't know their individual stories, that's up to them, but you suspect that they might not have the best or healthiest relationship with their children, whatever age they are. And
obviously, I think, had with their parents.
Yeah, and I think if they, you know, had more empathy, more insight with their children, I think we would have a lot less problems.
I couldn't agree more. And that's kind of where we started this. I actually have to, we only have 40 seconds left. They will shut this down. But I love talking to you. I'm sorry you choked. And I'm so happy you shared with your kid about me, because that's the beauty. That's why we're here at the moment.
Preach.
All the best.
I guess I have to listen to your podcast now.
Oh, thank you. It exists.
I saw it on the tweet, and I'm like, oh, I'll try it. I'll be unbiased. I haven't listened to it. And all right. We'll see what happens.
I lose you in 10 seconds. Darn it, it turned red. So be well and take care of yourself, and all the very, very best to you, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all the good work you're doing. God bless.
Oh, God bless. Thanks, man. That was really fun. I really loved looking at you guys as well as hearing you. So if you want to see this, you can go to the YouTube page. Otherwise, it makes a fine audio sampling, and it's something good to listen to in your car or on a stationary bike. I would not listen to it on a bike that's not stationary, because then you could actually get hurt when someone's beeping you, and especially if their windows are open and they're not wearing a mask and they somehow have a droplet come out of their nose and it flies into your throat. I just think about those things because, you know, droplets can fly. They can do what they do. So you know what you got to do? You got to do a lot of things. You got to take care of yourself. You got to be nice to people, kind to people, reason with people, try to communicate with people. And if you can't, then I just wish you a lot of health and safety, because the world's a little upside down. It's incredibly upside down. And I want you all to stay well. And as we head towards some kind of peaceful existence together. And I really appreciate all of your calls. I really loved being able to see you guys as well as talk to you. And I look forward to doing it again. So thank you. And you got to do the normal things, which is rate, review, subscribe, or follow. And then call that number at the top. Leave a message and I'll let you know what we're doing, when we're doing it, when I can call you guys again, or you can call me. And this was fun to go through Looped. It's an app. You just go at Looped, you know, the little at sign, looks like a pig nose. I don't know what it's called. It doesn't matter. Who cares what it's called? I just make up what it's called. It's called a pig nose. And I send you guys a lot of peace and a lot of love. And never used to talk like this, man. It just never did. But we're in a world where it just seems like that's what we got to do right now. And there's people that can't feel that peace and love right now because they're not feeling it. And I wish for them that they get to a point where they can. And I hope a lot of truth comes out. And we move forward. All right, everybody. Stay well. And I'll talk to you on the next Bob Saget's Here For You.